Welcome to My IELTS Classroom, the podcast where two English experts talk all things IELTS. I'm Shelley Cornick.
And I'm Nick Long.
And today it's our 2021 review. What was the best cue card in 2021? What was the worst essay question? And what are our IELTS predictions for 2022? Nicholas Lone, hello for the final time in 2021. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm all right.
Yeah.
Not doing too bad. Almost ready for Christmas. Just need a couple more days to get a few things sorted.
And it's that final step when you can just see that break, the chance for a rest is just ahead of you and you've just got to crawl to it.
Just winding down now.
Winding down.
We're not working 7 or 8 hours a day, but 4 or 5. It's quite pleasant, to be honest.
Which we should be doing anyway, really, yeah. Nick, to be honest. I'm sure all the listeners are very worried about my Christmas plans. I've finally made the decision. I'm going to risk it and go and stay with my sister.
Excellent.
Because, you know,
Omicron be damned.
Christmas comes but once a year, Nick. That's what I've decided. And then, hopefully, if I'm able to, I'll still be able to get on a plane. And I will be spending New Year not far from you back in St. Petersburg.
Very nice.
Which excellent. I'm looking forward to, actually.
Yeah. Russian New Year is always great, isn't it?
Yes, well, it is. Well, it's like a second Christmas, basically, isn't it? It's their main event, like, yes, you know, if you've seen me in the flesh, you know I probably need a bit of feeding up so I get to have a second Christmas dinner. So, I can't believe it's the last podcast of the year, Nick. This year's been a weird one. It started off slow.
And then it shot by, hasn't it?
The last few months seem to have accelerated, to be honest. So I would say, just to begin, maybe we'll start by saying thank you to everybody who's been listening to us this year. We've definitely grown, haven't we, over the last 12 months?
I think much more than I ever expected. It's been fantastic, to be honest, to see the podcast on a healthy upward curve for the whole year.
Every month, I think we've grown. I would say we've probably doubled since the beginning of where we were.
Which is great, because, you know, IELTS listeners are transient listeners.
They are.
Aren't they?
They come and go.
They come and go. They listen to the podcast, and then when they've passed, they forget about IELTS forever.
Which is what we wish for them.
Which is what we want, yeah. But it's nice to see that, you know, our reach is extending.
It really is. So if you are somebody who has joined us this year, you know, thank you very much. If you are someone who's been with us, you know, since we began back in, when was it?
May 2020.
Yeah, okay, 2020. Especially glad that you're still with us, particularly if you've already passed. So just a huge thank you to everybody. The other thing I would say is, you know, if you have enjoyed this year, Nick and I do this. It takes a considerable amount of time each week to plan the episodes, record the episodes. Nick has to then edit them. I have to create the blog post. You know, this is, for many people, it would be like a full-time job. For us, it's just, to be honest,
something
Nick,
extra that we do, isn't it?
It is. And I also want to say that for me, you know, one of the things I enjoy about this podcast is that I actually get to see Nick once a week.
Yeah.
I probably spend more time, I've probably spoken to you more this year than I have any other person, any family member.
That's definitely true. 100% for me as well.
Yeah.
Every Monday we have our little meeting, don't we?
We do. Before we start, we have a little catch up, what's been happening. And that's something that I really value. So I also want to say thank you very much to you, Nick.
And to you as well.
Thanks, love.
For keeping us sane.
Yeah, I think it's been really positive. So if you have enjoyed the podcast and you'd like to see us keep going in 2022, share the news. That's the most important thing to us. Maybe think about, you know, as a thank you at the end of the year, maybe reviewing us wherever you listen. If you're on Spotify, Apple, Google, give us a little stars. It doesn't have to be 5, although that would be nice. Write a few words about why you enjoy listening to us. If you'd really like to say thank you, we've also got our Patreon where, you know, you could give Nick and I £3 to go and buy a cup of coffee just to say thank you very much. We appreciate what you do. It's not a huge gesture, but for us, it's deeply meaningful. And I'd like to thank everybody who did that after last week. So that's the little intro. I guess then we should get on with the business of what we think are the best and the worst things in IELTS this year. So we're just going to go through, I guess, the things which change. So unfortunately, we don't really get to see the reading and the listening. So we won't be focusing on that so much. But what we will be focusing on, to begin with, is the speaking and the writing. Mm-hmm. So based on what, you know, we're quite lucky, Nick, because we have a lot of students who work with us. So we get to hear about a lot of the current questions.
We do.
Based on the questions, let's start with speaking part one.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the feedback from the students, I mean, let's start with the best. Have there been any topics that you thought this year were particularly good?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, what were they?
I think the main ones that I have liked and that I've found the students responded to well.
Yes.
That were interesting for me to ask students about.
Yeah.
The first one probably will be barbecues.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like that one. I always get good answers to that one.
Okay, that's interesting. So what was it? Because what was the students were coming up with, like, was it like different types of food that they ate at the barbecues?
Or? I think it was just, I don't know, like we have a lots of students from Russia at the minute.
Yeah.
And barbecues are very important culturally. In Russia.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
So, you know, it's always interesting to hear how a lot of people prefer to spend barbecues with family rather than friends, which I thought was interesting.
Uh-huh.
It's more of a family thing than a friends getting together kind of thing. And the type of meat that people like, and even what I found really interesting is a couple of our vegetarian students still love barbecues, even though it's just vegetables.
Right. I always think it's good when a student tells you an answer which is surprising, right? Because mm-hmm. in your head, you kind of, you know, if you ask the same questions again and again, you tend to get the same answers, don't you?
You do, yeah.
So it's always good when you're mm-hmm. like, oh, a vegetarian. Okay, I wouldn't have chosen barbecues, but I can see why mm-hmm. you like that. Was there any others?
I think your country is a good one.
Yeah, I've chosen that one as well. Mm-hmm. That topic, where you live. I think it was like, let's talk about, no, your country.
No,
yeah.
Your country was from earlier in the year. Yeah, let's talk about your country. And it's like, will you live in your country in the future? Which obviously most people say no to because that's why they're doing IELTS.
Yes.
What are you proud of?
That was the best. Loved mm-hmm. that question because I think particularly, you know, if you, for some countries, I mean, obviously like we've both taught in Russia. If you ask that question to a Russian student.
Everybody says yes.
Well, everyone goes, you know, what are you proud of? And they go, oh.
The Second World War.
Because I think they're used to saying negative things, you know, mm-hmm. in general. So I think mm-hmm. I love that question. I also love that question because I think one of the questions in that group was also like, where's the best place to live?
Yes, that's true.
In your country. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting because most people said where they were living.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of showed human nature, right? We tend to defend what we know the best. That was on my list. The mm-hmm. other one on my list was the question, I liked it because I felt like it was a relevant modern topic, more or less, was headphones.
Yeah.
Those questions like, mm-hmm. you know, do you find headphones comfortable to wear?
Mm-hmm.
In what situations would you never wear headphones? I just liked it because I don't think I've ever heard of that topic before. And I do think that today, like on the streets, most people wear headphones. So it does seem to be sort of like a safe new topic.
Yeah, it's a good one. It is a good one. And I think, yeah, you've got a lot of room there. Like, I'm wearing over-ear headphones. You're wearing in-ear headphones. We've got wireless headphones. There's quite a lot of topic-specific vocabulary that you could use there to
noise
show off
canceling.
Your... Exactly, yeah.
Maybe because I bought a pair of headphones this year. Maybe that's why I was interested in it. But anyway, they were the two. I think your country, for mm-hmm. me, and the headphones mm-hmm. were good. I don't know if you've got any to add. If not, we can move on to what we thought were the worst.
No, that's it for that. I mean, I think a lot of the questions actually are pretty decent.
Yeah.
This time. I mean, there's nothing really offensively bad. There's nothing, wow, superly good, but they're pretty solid questions.
Well,
there are a couple of bad
ones.
They
recycle, don't they?
They
I mean,
are recycled,
the thing is,
yeah.
is that, you know, whereas maybe sort of the cue cards, some, mm-hmm. I mean, headphones was new, I guess.
Mm.
But most of the time, you know, once you've been teaching IELTS for more than 3 or 4 years, you start to think, oh, tea and coffee is back. Oh, like, how do you relax is back. Oh, mm-hmm. like, you know, the same things come again and again. But with that, this year I thought did see the repetition of my least favourite topic ever. I think it's your least favourite topic.
Which one?
As well. Colours.
The questions in that topic are so stupid.
I just don't understand. It's just, I would say if I was, you know, still examining, I would find that just embarrassing to have to say.
And I mean, okay, for some younger students, it's not too bad, I think. Like if you're doing university applicants, It's not a terrible question to ask them. Maybe. But, you know, if you're asking these questions to a 30, 40, 50-year-old doctor, and you're saying, you know, what's your favorite color? What colors are popular with your friends at the moment?
That's the question, so which I just stupid. Makes me die inside because I can't imagine. Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because actually my friends and I were just talking about violet the other day, how much it speaks to us. I mean, who knows? I don't even know what my friends are doing. Silly. Like, if they've got married, let alone what their favorite or most popular colors are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that topic, I don't know, it just seems so old-fashioned, like you said, and just pointless, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. Other questions, I mean, there are other topics quite similar, right, yeah. like that, which, you know, one that I really didn't like this year was the flowers one.
Yeah.
Because the reason I didn't like that was, I think the first, you know, one of the first questions is like, you know, do you buy flowers very often or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. If you answer no to that question,
the rest of the questions are kind of moot, aren't they?
There was nothing to say. The next question would also be like, you know, when was the last time you bought flowers? I just told you I didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever grown flowers yourself? No. It's just like a string of four no answers. Maybe for some students, you know, people who've got a garden, people who, you know, actually, if we're talking about Russia today, you mm-hmm. know, Russians do actually have a huge culture of flower giving,
don't
they?
That's true. Yeah. So I think for them, those questions are
right. But, you know, when I've been talking to my students from, I don't know, Pakistan or the Middle East, it's just a lot of no's in a row. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you got a worst one?
I mean, I think, yeah, I wasn't keen on the flowers question. I actually thought trees worked better.
Really?
I thought that those questions, because it was something different, something new.
Yeah.
That I'd never seen before. And again, very good opportunity to show your topic-specific vocabulary. If you know the names of trees in English, you're going to do very well. But also, I think it's a good opportunity as well to use what I've been talking to a lot of students about at the minute, to say, oh, in my language, it's this, which means blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, you might not know the name of a sycamore tree in English, but you might be able to say, mm-hmm. I don't know what a sycamore tree is. It's that tree which has got those sort of like T-shaped leaves which spin when they fall or something mm-hmm. like that, right? Yeah, I mean, that is actually the funny thing with something like, interestingly, actually, we both share, Nick and I share a student, a lovely girl who's studying proficiency with us. Mm-hmm. And in the book that we are using last week, there was a whole chapter on metaphors of basically wildlife. Mm-hmm. So it had sort of like lots of idiomatic language about flowers and like just the normal language, like branches, leaves, mm-hmm. Stuff like that. The problem is that you've probably either got a lot of vocabulary for that and you can really extend it.
Yep.
But for lower level students,
it's going to be quite tricky, isn't it?
It's going to be quite tricky. Mm-hmm. The question I didn't like, which is weird because I actually like the topic a lot. Mm. But if we're talking about questions where I don't think students performed well, mm-hmm. for the same reason, actually, that you've just said, was mm-hmm. the wildlife question. Mm. So I found it astonishing the amount of times I would ask a student, like, you know, do you like wildlife or what, you know, what, I can't remember what the questions were reported to be, but stuff like, you know, where's the best place to see wildlife in your country? Or would you like to visit a country with interesting wildlife? Then I couldn't believe how many students answered the whole set of questions about wildlife without ever mentioning one animal. So, you know, if I was talking to a Chinese student, you know, it says, you know, where's the best place to see wildlife in your country? I was expecting them to tell me where I could see a panda mm-hmm. or maybe a tiger. Mm-hmm. Guess what every student said?
The zoo.
The zoo. And I was a bit like, well, yeah, that's probably true, but it's not showing me a great range of Lexis. So, for me, that was the one where I think there was an opportunity. You know,
to show.
You may think that a list of animals is relatively simple, but actually, in that part one, being able to just reel off a list of indigenous animals, particularly if they're, I don't know, a bit unusual, if you've got lizards or snakes or something. Mm-hmm. So I felt that students left a few points on the table.
Yeah.
There. But colours aside, I agree with you, Nick. I actually think that, you know, task one's relatively stable.
Yeah. I think the one for me which, like colours, I really didn't like, and I found a lot of students didn't answer very well, was TV programmes. It's too outdated now. They need to change that to TV series or films.
I agree with that.
Because it's like, the first question is like, I think something about what do you watch on TV? And everybody under 30 says, I don't watch TV.
Yeah. Even though they've just literally 5 minutes before the lesson stopped watching Netflix.
Yeah.
So everybody's, or they stream it. Oh, no, I don't watch TV, but I do download every American TV series and watch it. So I totally agree with you. I think the language of that, because it's still a good topic. We all love talking about TV programs or series.
Yeah, but for sure.
It needs
it's
to
just
be
not worded very well, I think. No, it's not worded correctly for the current generation.
I think they keep talking about television instead of like, do you stream TV series or something would be better. Yeah, I totally agree.
And the very, very worst question.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I don't like this is because at least 50% of the students were like, what? Was, have you done something recently when everyone seemed really happy?
No, no, no. Wasn't it, have you done something, no, have you been somewhere recently where everybody was smiling?
No, no, no. It was from happiness. It was from the beginning of the year. I think it was around, yeah, so maybe the end of last year, early this year. Have you done something recently when everyone seemed really happy? And honestly, more than half the students say, what? Or can you repeat that? Oh, they just don't understand the
question. Why do you think that confused students?
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's very, I don't think it's worded very well.
I think it's the have you done something?
Yeah.
Where everyone was happy. It's a weird, like, the done bit doesn't really match with the happy.
Yeah.
And also, that was at the beginning of the year. We were all in the middle of lockdown. We'd only seen, like, our family and pets.
Nobody was happy.
Nobody was happy.
And nobody had done anything.
No. And nobody been in a place with a lot of people, let alone, oh, when I got my COVID vaccination, everyone seemed happy. I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess, I mean, it's a bit, I've always wondered, it's a bit sad that you can't give feedback because you sort of know when you ask the same questions again and again, which ones work better than the others. I'm sure IELTS knows that, though. They've got their own way of telling. Okay, let's move on then to cue card questions. Okay, I'll start with I've kind of put them into... I've not got a great deal here, but the ones I liked this year that I thought were the best. I don't know how to describe it, but I would say they're cue card questions that can't be faked or copied. Right. So you know how you kind of see like some questions like, who's your favorite businessman? What is the answer 90% of the time going to be for that?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk or Jack Ma, right? Everyone, I guess, you know, people are looking online, they're finding answers. They're just, you know, and I'm sure 90% of people don't even really know who Elon Musk is. So the questions I like are the ones where you can't fake it, essentially. So they were the one, the two that I particularly liked were talk about some local news that people in your town or city were interested in.
I agree.
And I also thought, as an examiner, particularly if you're an examiner who's moving around, that's just interesting, isn't it? Like, okay, we are here today in Lincoln. What's happening in Lincoln? What's happening in, I don't know, Chiang Mai in Thailand, right? You get different answers to that. And then the other similar one, so it's all about local things, right? Also a company or organization where you live, which employs a lot of people.
I agree. Both good questions. And
yeah, because you'd be able to think of something.
Interesting answers.
Yes. And also not too difficult, I think, to come up with.
Yeah.
Because if you live, you know, wherever you live, you'd know what people are talking about in your local area.
Or you've read the newspaper or something.
Yeah. And I mean, I've lived in Lincoln for 6 weeks and even I can talk about the huge pig farm, which employs half of the city, right? So they were my sort of like best in terms of things that, or local questions, I guess, or things that can't be faked.
I would agree with you. I think, I mean, they were the ones that I chose as well. The other one I chose was a natural talent. You would like to improve.
I thought about that one as well. Why did you? I think that is a good question. Why do you like that?
I don't know. I just think it's anybody's. It's easy for anybody to look inside themselves and think, what could I improve? And talk about it and explain why. I think it's not a difficult topic. And I think you always get an interesting answer when you ask it.
Because you get to find out a little bit about the candidate, don't you? About their interests. And also, if it's a natural talent, it's probably something which I would say you've spent either some time already developing. Or you know something about. So you're probably going to find it easy to speak.
And good Lexis, you probably have as well.
A bit like the headphones, the reason I like the headphones in part one, the other question I've chosen is because I like it when I can see that IELTS is moving forward, it's updating, it's kind of, you know, modernizing.
It's not just recycling, recycling, recycling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was one, you know, a bit like we said the TV program's out of date.
Yep.
One of the questions this year was a time you found out something very interesting through social media.
Mm. Wouldn't have been used 5 or 6 years ago, would it?
Never. And I would say that's great. You know, we all spend time on social media, whether or not it's like something serious, like a news thing. You know, someone could eat, you know, that's got such a wide scope of answers. You could have someone who talks about some makeup that they've seen, right? Yep. Somebody who's found out something about a health practice, mm-hmm. somebody who's found out some news. I mean, the scope of that question is very broad. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's connected to what people are actually doing with their lives, which is what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got any other ones that you thought were the best?
I thought all of them were okay in general. A couple not great ones, but yeah. The local ones definitely, and the natural talent, I would say, are the most interesting.
And what do you think then are the worst?
I think, you know, the sort of really simple, bog standard ones, a person whose music you like or singing you like, a piece of equipment which is important in your home.
So the vague, so sort of like sort of, the
these vague ones that don't really... push the student. And actually, you know, because it's such a wide topic, it can be quite hard to think about, well, what should I talk about then?
That's interesting, because I was talking to a student, I did a test, speaking test with him yesterday. He's very, very good. He wants a 9. And I was sort of saying that although past cue cards have the problem of past tenses, right? Mm-hmm. For some students.
Yeah.
I would say most students find past cue cards easier to continue talking about for 2 minutes. So in terms of fluency, mm-hmm. because you're basically being asked to tell a real story.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you say, tell me about a musician you like, or what is the other one? Tell me about a piece of equipment. There's no natural story there, is there?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to sort of like build a narrative for 2 minutes. And I think some students struggle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree, Nick. I mean, the other ones that I always feel that the cue cards that I don't like
mm-hmm.
are the cue cards which give a very, very, very specific topic, which might be difficult for a student to think of on the spot. So I'm thinking of the questions like, or you might just not have the experience. So like the question, you know, a time when two of your friends argued or disagreed about something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I could answer it,
but I'd need to think about it.
But I don't think I can even think about... I mean, I'd have to go back to my university days to think about when two friends had a real disagreement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can invent a story.
Which you shouldn't do.
No, I can think about COVID and I don't know. But I just thought that was difficult. Or, you know, that one about a person you remember from your primary school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't even remember.
Oh, I did that one, actually. I did that one today and I was quite surprised because the student answered it really well.
Really?
Because they talked about their favourite teacher.
Which I hadn't even thought
about doing, to be honest.
Neither would I.
Yeah, and he gave a really good answer to that question. Spoke for the full 2 minutes, no problems.
Yeah, because that's much easier to talk about a teacher, because you can talk about what they did in class. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. The other one, we had a lovely student this year, Siki. She needed an 8, and she got an 8 in speaking. But I remember she struggled with a sports person who did very well at an event, because she just didn't. She just wasn't a sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
You and I would find that easy, wouldn't we?
For me, it'd be very easy,
It would be a brilliant one. But if you are somebody who doesn't know sport, it's not just even a sports person. It's a sports who did very well at an event.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the questions. And also there's that other one about, you know, it was at the beginning of the year, a time when it was important for you to tell a friend the truth. I think that's what I don't like. Tell your friend the truth. Your friends disagreed. It feels a bit like gossipy.
It does.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had to tell my friend that I'd kissed her boyfriend. Like, it's all just a bit, I don't know, a bit soap opera, some of the questions. So they're the questions I don't like, because I think they put the student on the spot to come up with a memory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you may have that experience, but you might not be able to, like,
get it. Yeah.
From your head.
And talk about it for 2 minutes.
Yeah. So they're the ones that I don't like. But again, you know, you could say something very interesting through social media is also specific. But I don't know. That seems broader to me, because you could talk about different things. So they're the ones that I would probably, I mean, as an examiner, you're not supposed to, what's the word? Select questions that you think are better. Because, I mean, all the questions have been pre-tested, right? Mm-hmm. So they are all supposed to work. You're the examiner's just supposed to go in, just choose by random questions. But those very specific questions would make me hesitate a little bit, yeah. I think. Okay. In terms of speaking, I don't think, like you said, I don't think there was anything unusual this year, anything new.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just life as usual in 2021.
Yeah.
Except you're probably likely to do your speaking test with a mask.
Mm-hmm.
but the questions you were asked were exactly the same. Okay, so then let's move on to essays. I enjoyed looking back through the essays last night.
Me too.
Did you? Mm-hmm. I sat with a cup of tea and I looked back through our most popular blog post every year, which is, 50 recent essay questions,
yep.
And had a look through them. What did you come up with then? What were your favourites?
It's hard to say exactly about favourites, but
yeah.
I definitely have a couple which I think are difficult or not great.
Okay, let's start with those then. Which do you think were not great?
I really don't like the new houses should be built in the same style as older houses.
Oh, Nick, that's so funny.
Same one?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, but as I was reading through them, I was thinking, God, there's a lot of questions here about architecture and building houses.
Yeah.
And I chose... Mm-hmm. In many cities, the construction of new houses and office buildings is not controlled. This mm-hmm. leads to people building in whatever style they want without thinking about design.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of similar. Why did you pick that question then?
I think in terms of vocabulary, it's probably quite difficult.
Exactly.
And I don't think it's a super exciting topic.
Yeah, it's boring. You mm-hmm. need very, very... What was your question again? The new houses in the style of the new houses.
Yeah, new houses yeah? should be built in the same style as older houses. Now, I could talk about that question. I have a fairly strong opinion about that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's quite difficult.
I think it's very difficult. If you don't know expressions like period features or Victorian mm-hmm. terraced houses or, mm-hmm. I think it's very difficult. And I also think, it's funny, Nick, I've got exactly the same thing, vocabulary,
mm-hmm.
and then I've got my question, which is very similar. I also think that, what you're being asked to do when you write an IELTS essay is come up very, very quickly with either two or four pretty simple but solid arguments, aren't they, right? They're very, the more specific your argument is, the easier it is to develop within a very short space of time. We've only got two or three sentences to be able to give our argument.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of these questions about styles of houses or not thinking about design, being able to articulate in just a couple of, one or two sentences why that's good or why that's bad, mm-hmm. I think that's really hard.
No, it is. It is tough. It is tough.
Any
of these topics really that really focus on very specific language, I don't like. I mean, you've got the classic. There are a lot of classic topics that have been recycled
yes.
this year, like the recycling one.
Yeah.
Who should teach parents or schools?
Yeah.
Again, fairly easy to talk about.
Yeah.
We've got obesity, again, just paraphrased. Yeah. Overeating can have a number of negative effects. Advertising should be banned. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah. I mean, the same topics come up, and I'm not against new topics, but I just think... Not how many people are really talking about architecture?
Mm-hmm.
Not many. How many people have probably got that? Or would we, would we expect a good communicator to have a wide vocabulary about architecture? I don't think I would.
No.
Think about the books we teach from, like the general English. There's mm-hmm. not that much in there about building styles or stuff like, or even materials, is there?
No.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. That was the one that I had was the worst. The other one I had is the worst, which was just that question which we've spoken about. You remember we did that episode about the essay questions from Cambridge 16?
Yep.
It's another houses one, but it was that one, more and more people becoming interested in finding out about the history.
Oh, God, horrible. Yeah.
Of the house they live in. Why? And also, how can people research this? Mm. I hate this question for two reasons. Number one, I don't know anybody who's ever researched the history of the house that they live in. It's a very random topic. But also that second question, how can people research this? That's just asking for a factual description.
Yeah.
of how you can find out the history of your building. I can imagine there are some 15 or 16 year olds out there who've got absolutely no idea.
Go on to internet.
Google it. I don't know. Like, what are you going to do? So, yeah, I don't like that question. Again, though, I am thinking, and I hate to say this, but we should probably do a lesson next year on housing vocabulary, maybe, or architecture.
That would be good, actually.
Because I think...
Test ourselves.
Exactly. Even we might learn a little bit in that. The other one, in terms of good questions, I think my theme is, I think what I realise is, I like it when I can see IELTS moving to more modern topics, right? Mm-hmm. So I liked the question about, in the modern world, it's possible to shop, work and communicate online without face-to-face contact. Mm. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a very relevant topic at least now, isn't it?
That's what I thought. I mean, it's not even just relevant because we're doing everything online. It's relevant because of the whole COVID and everything else. I liked that.
I was going to say, it's exactly the same for me. Like, all the ones that I thought were good were really more modern questions. Like, many people get news online instead of reading it.
Yes.
Positive or negative development. The other one that I thought was interesting was about the proportion of older people in the population being higher than younger people. Is that a positive or negative development? I thought the one about every country in the world has its own road rules was quite interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, drivers don't obey them. What are the reasons for this? What can be done? A nice problem, cause, solution one. Very new type of question, I think.
It is, but it's good, though, isn't it? Because it doesn't talk about... I mean, you can think about yourself what the road rules are and what people don't follow in your own country, right? Mm-hmm. So it's pretty broad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the other one that I really liked was the difference between countries is becoming less and less evident. I thought that was a good globalization question.
It is, yes. Actually, so it's taking one aspect of globalisation, isn't it? It's sort of like narrowing it down.
Yep.
Difficult one, though. I also, the other ones that I liked were, there was a question about, nowadays some parents give money to their children if they perform well at school.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a good or a bad trend? I like that question because I think that is a genuine dilemma that lots of parents face.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if they had a question, you know, lots of very young children are given a mobile phone. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Or an iPad?
Mm-hmm.
I like those sort of questions because I think that there's a connection to, like, the real world and questions which people really ask themselves.
And it's all about behaviour, isn't it? So, like, societal behaviour.
Exactly.
So there's no clear cut, like, agree or disagree. You can make very good arguments for both sides.
Yes, and yes, you definitely can. I think that's the thing. So there's a lot of scope for that question.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in terms of, like, one question, if I was going to have to choose one essay question, which I really liked, it's the one, we spoke about this in a recent breakdown episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was that question about, you know, in some countries, there's not enough medical or educational facilities in rural areas.
Yeah.
Therefore, new doctors and teachers should be sent to work in the countryside. I like it because I think it's the perfect balance between a new topic, which is specific, but, you know, and I know, I think I've said before, like, this is something which happened in Australia. So I've come across this topic before.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you hadn't, I think that it would only take a very small amount of analysis or just to think, well, why would it be a good idea? Mm-hmm. I think the students who had never even thought about this before
could think of reasons.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is a good question, because you don't want it, you know, I don't like questions where if you don't have any prior knowledge, you've got no idea. I think that's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
For example, my other one, which is a bit like the best and worst, because I think it's a great question. However, it requires the students to take some sort of logical jump. So is that question, it was something like, some people believe that visual images, like photos and videos, provide enough evidence that a crime was committed. Others think that they're not enough on their own and other evidence is needed. That is a great question, but I think it being able to answer it relies on every student understanding. What's the problem, Nick, with, like, photos and videos today?
What's the problem with them?
Well, if I said, oh, Nick, I saw you, I don't know, I saw you stealing from a shop. I've got a photo. Why might that photo not be enough?
Well, because you got no context, have you? You don't know what's
we got
going
no
on.
Context, and also I could fake that, couldn't I?
You could, yeah,
I could
true,
just
actually,
Photoshop.
Yes. You could deep fake it and
easily fake
what
it.
What Nick's doing?
Yeah. So I mean, I think that whole question is basically based on the idea that every student's going to understand. Okay, they're good, but they can be faked. Therefore, we're going to need other evidence. And if you don't understand, they can be faked. I think you might just struggle. Or well, why do we need other evidence? Mm-hmm. I think that's one which I don't like as much because it requires that little specific bit of analysis. Whereas, you know, we should send newly qualified doctors to the countryside, I think is pretty obvious for everybody.
You can see why that would work, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in general, there definitely were. I would say 2021 was the year of the two-part question for IELTS.
They love it, don't they?
Yeah, that really seemed to be where they went. I like the idea of two-part questions, but I do think, and I can understand why IELTS are doing it, because they want to keep the exam fresh. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's something you need to understand and be prepared for. So, you know, if you're not really sure how to approach a two-part question, very recently we did an episode about that, didn't we?
We did, yes.
So you can go back, you can have a listen, you know, how do you write your introduction, your conclusion, how should you structure your body paragraphs? Mm-hmm. I like the move to two-part questions because I think, in a way, it gives students a chance to show more of what they've studied. Mm-hmm. But I guess it depends. I like the questions, why? Is it positive or negative? I don't like the questions, how can people research the history of the house or building that they're living in? So in general, I would say that was the biggest trend that I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think, yeah, there's something about two-part questions which are easier, I think.
Yeah, in a way, I think they are as well.
It really helps you with, like, okay, this is the format I need to use.
Yeah, the structure's set for you, isn't it, basically?
I've got my introduction, address both questions, paragraph one, question one, paragraph two, question two, conclusion, summarise both, boom, done.
Done.
Yeah,
it's exactly.
Fairly straightforward. I think we've talked about this before, but where it really gets difficult is when you have why and positive or negative development.
Yes.
Because if you do have positive reasons and positive development, it's going to get tricky to think of different ideas. Maybe you need to add balance. And you don't want to repeat anything. It can be very tricky in that case.
But I think planning.
We've made a suggestion for what to do in that situation, haven't we?
Exactly. Go back and listen to the two-part essay lesson. Now, I've just realised we haven't actually included any task ones on this. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be a mistake, but as a teaser for 2022, I've noticed, Nick, that in academic task one, they have introduced a new type of line graph in the last two books. I only realized this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I would say in January, we'll definitely have one lesson where we look at that. We've got a great existing line graphs lesson, which will be the basics. So definitely try and have a listen back to that before then, because you'll need that as the foundation. But I've spotted something that they've started doing, which has definitely been new in the last year. In terms of letters, I think the only thing I can remember off the top of my head about letters is that there was a lot more semi-formal letters this year.
Yes.
Than in previous years, which is why we did that episode about semi-formal letters.
Mm-hmm.
So again, go back. It's all there in the archives. But I think probably in terms of our review, I think that's probably enough for speaking and writing. So maybe before, so we're going to have a little bit of a prediction section because we know that if anyone can make a prediction, it's our friend Nick here, Mystic Nick. But maybe before we leave best and worst, have you got, you know, we have 52 new episodes this year, Nick. Have you a best episode or one that you look at fondly from this year? Well, not doing worst.
I think you mentioned a couple of them, which first of all, I think were good, which were fun to record.
Yeah.
New information for me, which is always nice.
Yes.
And useful for our students. So semi-formal letters definitely was one of the best ones.
Yeah, it was good,
for me
actually.
Personally, because I think you broke down the differences really well between how formal or informal something has to be.
Yeah.
And that was really useful for me because I was going through with one of my students letters. He's very good at essays, but he'd struggled with a couple of letters.
Yeah.
So that really helped him as well when I could, you know, go back and explain that stuff to him. Should have just listened to the podcast, really, but never mind.
But still, yeah, good.
And I think, yeah, I really liked the lesson that we did. I can't remember if it was this year. I think it was replacing the word people.
It was. That's on my list of things as well.
I thought that advanced was extremely useful.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, Nick, those two episodes, so the episodes about semi-formal letters, the episodes about, you know, how to avoid using that word people, which I thought was really good. The other one, which I'm going to add to my list personally, was the one we did on social trends essays. So looking
about
at
changes.
Essays which talk about change and how that affects the ideas that you're going to generate. The interesting thing, Nick, is all three of those essays were born out of things which I personally discovered in my own teaching this year. So I always think, you know, you may think you know everything, but at least four or five times a year, I will be working with a student and I'll have a little epiphany like, oh my goodness, that's why you're struggling with these semi-formal letters, right? Because you're trying to use the same rules for all of them, but they vary greatly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are always my favorite episodes and lessons because I like it when I learn something new. My other ones that I like, I mean, in terms of which ones are most popular in terms of downloads, can you guess which ones get downloaded the most?
I'm going to guess recent essay questions.
Hands down, right? They are always the most popular. But interestingly, that letters one was also very popular. And the one that surprised me, because we only released it in October, so it's only been live for about 6 weeks, but it's already, I think, in the top five of our all-time downloads, was that Read Once, Read Well. Where we break down and explain, you know, a way that you can organize or read better, basically save time and understand the reading better if you use our Read Once, Read Well.
That's a good technique. One. Very, very useful technique as well.
It was good.
For reading.
So that's funny. Those avoiding people I really liked. The other one that I liked, because I think it gave me, again, something new, was the one we did a couple of weeks ago about metacognition, about, you know, as students, as a teacher, what can I do to help you self-study better? That's something which I definitely want to take forward into 2022 and start focusing more on. So that's the best and worst of 2021. I guess, Nick, you know, I think both of us, I don't know if you can hear it in our voices, Nick and I are very tired at the minute, right? We are both looking forward to having we're having our first ever week off, basically, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
Coming up in the last week of the year. There'll still be a podcast, don't worry. But I'm, you know, trying to look forward now to 2022. I definitely have been tired at the end of this year, but I feel like I'm sort of building up now and I'm going to come back in 2022 with some new things, hopefully. If we think about it though, Nick, as I said, it's a joke, but you are very good at making predictions, right? There are some things we already know are coming in 2022. So we know that IELTS Online is coming. So that's the new version of just the academic test, isn't it? The new version of the academic test, which is a full test taken completely online. I think that's coming in something like March or April. Do you have any other predictions for what might come in 2020?
Well, we've got the IELTS preparation courses arranged by IELTS, haven't we, as well?
Oh, yes. That is true. So IDP have definitely organized, started offering their own IELTS preparation courses. So
they can take you through the whole process from cradle to grave, basically.
Yes, exactly. In one place, which monopoly. It also worries me because I get so many emails, Nick, from people who say things to me like, I went to a British, actually, like genuinely, about 6 weeks ago, one of our students went to a seminar or a webinar. I guess it was paid by the British Council about Task 1 maps. And then they asked me some questions based on it. And then I ended up watching the seminar. And it was, and I'm not saying anything negative about the British Council at all. I think they do a phenomenal job. It was a very, very good introduction to IELTS maps. For students who needed a 6 or a 6.5, it was perfect. It covered the bases. But for anybody who wanted something higher than that, it was
bare bones.
very weak at the best. I mean, the model map had one body paragraph. It was all in the present simple. There was absolutely nothing apart from the present simple passive. Yeah. It had almost every sentence started with a conjunction. Again, if you are helping lower level learners, it mm-hmm. would be perfect.
Yeah.
But my worry, though, is that once IDP and the British Council start running their own preparation centres, mm-hmm. anything they say will be taken as, this is what IDP said, this is what British Council said, mm-hmm. without realising that they are just teachers who work for IDP or British Council, and nobody is checking what every teacher says. So I think it could lead to a very dangerous situation where people will become very confused about what is just one way of approaching, mm-hmm. which is being taught by one British Council teacher, and what is set in stone. And if you should learn anything from learning from Nick and I, it's that the only thing that matters are the band descriptors,
mm-hmm.
and you can satisfy those in different ways. So that does worry me, Nick.
Yeah.
The other thing, speaking exams.
Mm.
Do you think we will, this 2022, will see the end of face-to-face speaking exams?
I think in most places, yes.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I think they'll be slowly phased out in favour of remote and online speaking exams.
Yeah, I certainly know one of our students, Monty, he sat the computer-based test at a test centre, but he had his speaking online.
Wow.
You know, there was no need for that. He could have done it at the centre with an examiner. But mm-hmm. I do think that's something which, you know, with this IELTS online coming in,
mm-hmm.
I would say the days of you sitting face-to-face in a room with an examiner may be numbered.
Mm-hmm.
The other predictions that I might want to make is what I've noticed happen this year is when students email me their essay questions,
mm-hmm.
very often, you know, reported from the exam, very often, Nick, it's the same topics we've seen again and again.
Mm-hmm.
When they have been new topics, they are topics that I have recognised from recent Part 3 speaking questions.
Ah.
So I wonder if they kind of trial topics in the Part 3.
And then the good ones, they turn then into get essay questions.
Turn into essay questions. So based on that, I'm mm-hmm. thinking about, you know, new speaking Part 3 topics that were reported from this year. Like one of them was entering into written agreements.
Mm.
So, you know, why is a written agreement better than a spoken promise? I can imagine that easily getting turned into an agree disagree essay.
Yeah. Do you think written contracts are better than, not better, but mean more or something?
More
like
preferable
that.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same things like paying for advice. What situation, you know, when is paying for advice better than getting advice from friends or relatives?
Mm-hmm.
Could be a discuss both sides question.
Yeah.
Some people think it's better to pay for advice. Other people think it's better to get advice from, you know, it could be
Definitely.
Advantages, disadvantages. Mm-hmm. I think that sounds to me one that would be easily done. Sense of national identity, that's another topic.
Yeah. I think that's close to, I guess, the borders question that we use in the course.
Yes.
Maybe they could make that a bit more specific. In the age of globalization, do you agree or disagree that national identity is important?
Exactly.
Something like that.
I think they sort of connected, there was a question that connected national identity with an economy.
Mm.
So like, you know, how important is national identity to a country's economy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could imagine that could become a best way essay or something like, you know, national identity is the most important thing in the development of an economy. I don't know. These are just things which I'm thinking could turn up. The one I'm also thinking, because I thought that this was a very, I'm not sure if this was the expression they used, but what's reported is the phrase instant gratification. So society and instant gratification.
Yeah.
So, you know, is a society based on instant gratification a pleasant place to live? Agree, disagree. I don't know. But I'm expecting, or I wouldn't be surprised is what I'm saying, if, you know, as we work through 2022 with a new batch of students, we start seeing some of these questions appear as essay topics.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Obviously, the only way we will know is if people write and tell us the questions that they had in their exam. So, you know, if you ever sit the exam, I would be extremely grateful if you sent us an email, hello@myartsclassroom.com, just to tell us what your exam questions were.
Yes, please.
Because that's the only way that Nick and I are able to sort of like keep abreast, so to speak, about what's happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe then, Nick, just to finish, mm-hmm. on a personal note, mm-hmm. have you got a best or worst life event?
Well, I think you could probably guess my best life event.
Is it Charlie?
It's Charlie.
I was going to say it can be best and worst.
Yes, and it is the worst as well, because yeah. sometimes he's a little monster.
No, just if you're a new listener, Charlie's a dog, not a human. Mm-hmm. It's not Nixon or had a baby. But yeah, he's a little sausage dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think Charlie's definitely brought a lot to your life. When I see him in the background, mm-hmm. I just think that I think having a little animal in the house definitely brings a sense of homeliness, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It's, you know, snuggling up on the sofa.
Yeah.
Getting licked in the face at 8 o'clock in the morning. When you want to sleep until 10.
Best and worst, Nick. Best and worst.
But to be honest, it's good because, you know, it gets me out of the house every day at least yes. a couple of times. And right now it's minus 10 and it's snowing and it's very nice in the evening. Very, very snappy cold, which, you know, mm-hmm. get that into your lungs. It sort of gets you feeling good.
When you may not have chosen yourself to have taken yourself out for a walk.
Oh, right? Definitely.
But having that excuse, yeah. I think... Mm-hmm. It's good. I think my major life event this year, and I would say it was the best and worst as well, was mm-hmm. relocating back to the UK.
Yeah.
I still don't know. I mean, in the long run, I don't know. But definitely before I left, it felt like this was the worst decision I made. I was very nervous. Yeah. It was very stressful. You know, moving house is never easy, right?
It's not,
but moving house when you're moving countries to a place you've never been to before is very difficult. However, mm-hmm. I certainly, in the last couple of months since I've arrived, have had a definite sense of just gratefulness for the fact that I am able again to interact in society, which I haven't, you know, when you live in a place where you speak the local language poorly, right? So it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, I often think about our students who relocate, you know, all the lovely students who are now in Canada facing their first winter.
Yeah, good luck.
Who've never been in a country, you know, like I think about my Indonesian students or my Indian students. It's not easy making that move. But I do think, personally for me, mm-hmm. I'd been in the same place for 10 years. And I think there just comes a time in life where you just need a change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, true. For me, what I think has been brilliant is what I don't think it necessarily is about being in England, although I think that helps that I can interact. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, it was just having my senses alive again, right?
Mm.
New things, new tastes, new sights, new mm-hmm. things happening. I definitely needed that. So I think that's why I've had a little bit of a rest period, because I've been acclimatizing.
Good.
But I'm excited about 2022. Hopefully, you know, if you're listening, we would love it if you came to prepare with us in 2022. We're hoping to build my IELTS classroom even bigger and better. We add things all the time. And yeah, so I think that's it, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got anything else to say? It's a little round off.
I hope 2022 is better as well. Cause it's been a very boring 2021, to be honest. Been in lockdown for more than half of it.
I forgot about that. You've struggled with, I mean, not struggled, but anyone would struggle. Anyone, I mean, you've had to face a long, long period of lockdown.
It's been pretty dull. So, yeah, hopefully 2022 will be better. And I moved as well in October, just before you.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Which has actually been very good, actually. I'm glad that I got out of my old place into a bigger flat, nicer flat, newer flat.
Your flat's lovely.
More space,
yeah.
Better heated, which obviously in winter is nice. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
fingers
I think... Fingers crossed, because I know, if, you know, for a lot of people, 2021 has been about putting their plans on hold, really.
Yep.
I mean, we were lucky. I was probably lucky to move.
Mm.
Everybody's waiting for the Canada draws, for the for the point system, for... Yeah. It's not been easy, but we can only be positive and optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for 2021. Come back for 2022. We'll see you in January.
See you next year.
My IELTS Classroom podcast is a production of My IELTS Classroom Limited. Nick and I do not represent IELTS, and everything you heard in this episode is our own personal opinion. You can find the show notes and transcript for this episode on our blog. That's blog.myieltsclassroom.com. And if you're looking for our video courses, speaking lessons, and marking service, you can find that at www.myieltsclassroom.com. If you have a question or query or just want to chat, you can email Nick and I at hello@myieltsclassroom.com. Our theme music is by Heartbeat and our artwork is produced by David Brown. Have a great week, study hard, and remember, this is my IELTS classroom. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.